I rely so heavily on notes, I was just making sure that, in case I needed an extra space to put everything here. And I apologize, I was in a meeting that ran a little over, so I wasn't fully prepared in advance. So while I'm putting this together, I just want to mention a couple of recent sermons that I enjoyed, and I would encourage you to also review those on our website. Or you can also go back and view the previous things on YouTube and Facebook. But being interested in science and how science, I find that science works to prove creation as opposed to disprove it. So I was very interested in Steve's lesson this morning about that. And then also I would encourage you to listen to Matt's sermon from last Sunday evening on why do good things happen or why do bad things happen to good people, because that is a tough subject, but it was very heartfelt, spoken from his heart, and was then related to what he is going through. So it stuck in my mind all week. So I would just encourage you to if you have a chance to revisit those lessons or visit them for the first time if you haven't. I'm sure, like all of us, you've been talking to friends and family, and you may mention that your TV is about to go out or your car is about to go out, and so you're thinking about getting that new TV or getting a new Ford Bronco, because that's the hot seller right now. Maybe you've even been discussing how you want to spend an extra $30,000 and get the electric version over the gas version. And then when you go online to look into these things, as soon as you open up your web browser, there's a nice little banner right on top from Best Buy advertising TVs. They're on sale right now. Click on it, get it, you know, get yours or order it today. When I do approach buying something new, I'm all about reviews and research. And I research everything to death for months before I make a purchase. And so I will go to YouTube, for instance, and I'll read reviews, but I'll also watch reviews. But when I open up YouTube, there's a list of videos being recommended to me for the things that I was about to research or look up and want to look into. And I also like to, at work and when I'm working at home too, but listen to music online through an app. And then I discover every other ad is directed or from or related to the objects that I've been researching or maybe just simply talking about it. And so chances are this happens to you, and maybe you wonder why that is, but I think we all already know why that happens. It's because you clicked yes when you went to your favorite app and decided to share your microphone with your phone. Or maybe somebody you were with shares that information with their phone. And of course, if you're a heavy Facebook user, Facebook knows who you are, they know who your friends are, they know who your friends of your friends are, and so on. But yet I still find myself thinking, how freaky. I was just casually talking about something or mentioning something, maybe mentioning a new phone, and now suddenly my email box in one day gets three emails about how there's $400 off a new iPhone. Again, I think this happens to everybody. And according to several websites, when I was doing the research for this, ZDNet, PC Mag, and Inc., Facebook actually is the most aggressive out there among the big tech companies in collecting and accessing your personal information. And also, chances are, you handed it over to them freely. According to Security Baron, Facebook knows your name, your gender, your birthday, your phone number, your email, your location, your relationship status, your work, your income level, your education, your race, ethnicity, religious views, physical address, facial recognition, political views, credit cards, if you've made a purchase from them. They know your IP address, your contacts, your chat and message conversations, calendar, search history, browser information, video uploads, photo uploads, status updates, and posts, likes, ads that you click on, and what you've hidden from the news feeds and all of the devices you use. So I mentioned all of those and read through it quite quickly to make a point about how much they do collect and go over with you. And then, of course, the other big companies like Apple, Microsoft, Google, Amazon, Twitter, and TikTok, they do much of the same thing, but to varying degrees. Some collect less than that, about the same, and so forth. It just depends. That smart speaker that you bought because you wanted that home of the future, like you saw in the cartoons when I was a kid. You want to be able to turn off the lights and start all your devices and control the AC. And of course, you want to just hear music, but you want to be able to do all that simply by speaking it, all through voice commands and not having to get up to push a button or turn something on. Through my health insurance company, I get this Apple Watch. I get it for free if I'm able to perform certain exercises and activities each month and earn points over the next 2 years to pay it off. But in order for them to know, of course, if I do those exercises, I have to share that personal data with them. Again, that was my choice because I liked the idea of finally getting a smartwatch and not, but best of all, not having to pay for it. But I did choose to enroll in some of that information. I do admit that being free appealed to the cheap side of me, and something techie and brand new appealed to that side of me. So I'm both cheap and easily tempted, and I know neither of those are admirable qualities. Dangle something shiny and new in front of me, and I got to look into it. But I appreciate, though, that when I was enrolling in all this information, that I had the opportunity to go down a list of items that I chose to share and check off yes or no, because some of those activities that were listed there I consider way too personal and would even be too, I would feel too awkward to mention them up here, the kind of stuff that you could share. So I definitely turned those off. When it comes to Amazon, I both love and hate them. I like that I can find anything, and of course I like that I can find it cheap. But I hate having to wait for it to be delivered, especially after I already spent 6 months researching it. So for me, by the time I buy it, it's already been a long time coming. I don't want to wait another week. But I also find it annoying that when I'm looking, for instance, recently for a small backpack or crossbody bag to take to work, I saw a little picture of something that I didn't quite recognize what it was. And so I went ahead and I clicked on it. It turns out that it was a tiny coin purse, much like the ones that my grandmother had, that I remember her having when I was a kid, the kind that you would just squeeze opening the top and have to fight really hard with your fingers to get the change out of it. Now, I have no idea why Amazon would recommend that to me when I'm looking for something much bigger like a backpack, but to make it worse, because I clicked on it, now I get daily emails from Amazon telling me that based on my viewing habits, mind you, here's a nice shiny coin purse you might like. No, I don't want it. I'm not interested in coin purses. I only clicked on it because I couldn't tell what the picture was, and I was just curious. Besides, I believe I already probably have several of those coin purses waiting for me, because my dad probably has them in his garage after he inherited them from his mom. So I'm sure they're coming my way, and now I've just spoiled what I'm going to hand down to my kids. So they're going to get to inherit a tiny coin purse, and maybe I can sell it to them as a wireless earbud case with a self-closing top. So it'll be repurposed. Now, I'm not saying, you know, handing over the information, enrolling, buying. I mean, I'm not saying any of that is right or wrong. It's totally up to you what tech that you decide to use, and it's totally up to you where you decide to shop. I admit, again, I like technology and it interests me, and so there is some amazing tech out there, and I do get giddy about those things. But it all comes at a price that you have to be willing to pay long after you've actually spent the money on it. And again, it's just like, you know, these things popping up magically in your email box or on your phone. It's no secret that the companies will spend big money to gain that personal access about you, to know all of your likes and interests and hobbies and views. And right in front of that, of course, is the companies that are more than happy to collect all of that data from you and then turn around and sell it. According to a previous year's revenue report, Facebook made $106,000 per minute. Microsoft made $208,000. Google made $261,000 a minute. And Amazon made $447 per minute, while Apple made over $500,000 per minute. Now, some of these companies do actually sell hardware or products. Some of these companies sell a combination of products and your information. And then while others, particularly Facebook, will sell that private information while only having a couple of actual tangible items to sell. So they're mainly in the business of information. And then it was brought to my attention today that if you buy or have a Oculus or VR goggles, Facebook probably also has a complete map of your room or your house that you're in, because that's part of the requirements for setting up a boundary for VR. So, supposedly and hopefully none of that data is being collected or stored, but you just never know. Now, back in the old days, advertisers would pay premiums for specific times to play an ad. They didn't have access to you personally. So we would see toy commercials during Saturday mornings, or beer commercials during sporting events, home products during the daytime. This was the best a company could do to try to reach its intended audience, its intended shoppers. But nowadays, with all of this great technology that we have, and the willing participation of us to buy it and sign up for it, now companies can target us specifically 24/7 directly to our email, sending you notifications directly to your phone about what you need and why you need it. And you know, even for consumers, though, this can be good. This can be a bonus or benefit to them, because you may not know a product exists. You may have a need and not know that there's a product out there that can fulfill that, or you like the convenience of simply choosing, shopping an endless supply or endless amount of models for something on Amazon and having that choice that maybe a store doesn't have. So, you know, again, it could be a love-hate relationship, but it's something, again, that the company will sell to you as a benefit to get out of it. And so this tech is definitely used to line the pockets of the businesses involved. But again, they couldn't have your participation unless they found a way to resell it to you as your benefit. And having that can be enticing, like getting a free watch. And we do get some enjoyment from those items or things that we can get when we participate. But others still choose to not participate at all, or very little, only as much as they need to, because they'd rather hang on to their privacy and anonymity. They are well aware, as I'm sure we all are, the ability to know everything about you can go beyond just using it for financial gain and to make money. For instance, I remember in the early days of the pandemic, very quickly, an app came out for your phone that could alert you if you came in contact with somebody who had COVID. Your phones and devices could immediately ping and receive symbols, ping to and receive signals from other people's devices, talking and communicating to each other. And if your device knew that you had COVID, it would tell other devices that person came in close contact with you. Now, maybe a positive, you could consider that positive. Other people would consider that kind of intrusive. You know who I was around and what time and where and when. Now, maybe a positive example of tracking and knowing your whereabouts is when maybe someone gets lost in the woods or they go missing, and authorities are able to know the last cell tower that your device pinged, and so that search now, instead of being hundreds of square miles, is now down to maybe a couple of miles, and maybe it helps them to find and come to your aid quicker. And did that person ping the tower on purpose? Did they know to do that? No, that just happens automatically simply by having your device on or using it. And so it wasn't something purposely that you did. It just happened, and others were able to use that information then to find you. And so this is pretty powerful technology and powerful stuff. And of course, with any kind of power, we always hope that it is used responsibly. And we always wonder or question, whose hands does that power rest? What is it being used for openly? And then in the back of our minds, we always may wonder, what is it being used for secretly? But there was a time not too long ago that all of this technology didn't exist. And there was a time that you didn't have to completely unplug from your devices or find a cabin in the woods and live off grid. You didn't have to go that far to be unknown. You didn't have to go to those extremes to be to not be eavesdropped on or observed. But the reality is this kind of surveillance has actually been around much longer than we realize. And it's actually existed since the beginning of time. And that power was possessed by only one being. And if you're a Christian or any believer in God or a higher power, then you are already familiar with what it's like to live under constant surveillance, whether we realize that, remember that, or think about that. And while you have no choice in or being able to opt out of this 24/7 monitoring of your every thought and move, I believe that we can rest assured that the knowledge that is acquired isn't going to be used for financial gain, and nor will it be used for selfish or nefarious reasons. Instead, I do believe the purpose is to be used to your benefit 100%. And that is the choice that you have while we live under this surveillance, to make it worthwhile and to pay off for much more than any free watch or any shopping cart item could ever do. And to even make it better and go further, you can actually ping this benefit to anyone you come in contact with, and they too can receive all the same rewards which are available to you, because they too are being watched and they have no choice either. But it's our job to let them know that this surveillance is going on. And the ultimate reward and the gift that we can receive from this is eternal life, to live forever after this life. And isn't that something, too, that man is working to figure out, the technology to grant immortality? Once again, there's another technology, so to speak, but once again, there's something that already exists. But those trying to invent it, they just don't accept it. And it, in their mind, it doesn't exist until they invent it. To know everything is to be omniscient. And while that word isn't found anywhere in the Bible, the evidence appears throughout Scripture that God truly is all-knowing and therefore is considered to be omniscient. Knowing God is the creator of everything. The following verses tell us he therefore, I'm sorry, knowing that God is the creator of everything, these following verses will tell us therefore he knows everything about that creation. In Psalm 147, verses 4 through 5, and I'll go through these rather quickly. In Psalms 147, 4 through 5, he counts the number of the stars. He gives them all, he gives names to all of them. Great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. In Psalm 33, 13 through 15, the Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men from his dwelling place. He looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all, he who understands all of their works. In our scripture reading from tonight, Psalm 139, 1 through 6, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou dost know when I sit down and when I rise up. Thou dost understand my thought from afar. Thou dost scrutinize my path and my lying down, and art intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, thou dost know it all. Thou hast enclosed me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. In Matthew 10:30, we understand that all of the hairs on our head are numbered. He knows everything about us and what we have. In Jeremiah 1, 4 through 5, now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Our God knows the past, the present, and the future because he's been there and is here and always will be. The knowledge of everything, past, present, and future, would mean, too, that there can be nothing new, no surprises to God, because God has already seen it and has already seen it coming. In Isaiah 46, 8 through 11, remember this and be assured. Recall it to mind. You transgressors, remember the former things long past, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure, calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my purpose from a far country. Truly I have spoken, truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it, and surely I will do it. In Acts 2, 22 through 24, men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know, this man, delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. And God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held within its power. We will never know everything about the past because we weren't there. And we can't know everything about the present until it happens, or without being everywhere. And we will never know the far-off future that awaits because we won't be around to see it. Therefore, as much as we may try, men will never achieve full knowledge. And this is partially what's meant by men not being able to comprehend the knowledge and existence of God. Because being God, being omniscient, it means that nothing new can be learned. To know everything means there's nothing new out there to learn, because everything is already known. And as close as man and technology work to collect and know everything about everyone, we ask ourselves or wonder again, what good deeds would man do then with that knowledge? And I think history shows us that such knowledge makes men believe that they are either equal to God or gods themselves whenever they achieve a godlike power. And so remember those PSAs on TV Knowledge is power. And yes, it is. And too much knowledge can lead to too much power. And what corrupts men greater and faster than power? Holding control of oneself under that would be impossible. And so it would be hard for a person to remain humble. And I believe that no one, knowing everything about everyone, would ever use that knowledge to bring the love and forgiveness to all people as God does. In Romans 11, 33 through 36, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, and who became his counselor? Or who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." In Isaiah 44, 6 through 8, "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and then there is no God beside me. And who is like me? Let him proclaim it and declare it. Yes, let him recount it to me in order from the time that I established the ancient nation, and let them declare to them the things that are coming and the events that are going to take place. Do not tremble and do not be afraid. Have I not long since announced it to you and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me, or is there any other rock? I know of none." In putting together the stats for the first part of the sermon, I pictured the gathering of all this data through the technology that's available as a modern Tower of Babel. But instead of building a structure upwards to reach upwards to heaven to reach God, men are building a structure outward, literally a web around God's earth, capturing all the people inside. Now, the term "playing God" often refers, I think, and what I've seen is it refers to somebody who passes judgment onto others. Who's saved? Who's damned? Who dies? Who lives? What's right? What's wrong? But I think we can also see a bit of playing God in all the ways that man is creating and using surveillance. And like the actual Tower of Babel, will all of this come crashing down one day, either imploding on itself by man's missteps, or will God intervene through his direct actions? And if that were to happen, what lessons would be learned, if at all? What would God's judgment look like? We can all guess, but again, since we don't know what's yet to be, I have no answers. It's possible that someday cameras might allow us to instantly count the hairs on someone's head from a mile away. Telescopes might reach a point to allow us to count all the stars in the universe. And medical science can already guess many of our traits, our personal traits, while we're still inside the room. But will these tools and will these methods ever truly uncover everything about us? And will that technology ever be able to know who we truly are or what kind of person we are inside? Will tech know what our hearts truly are and who it follows? Big tech will always love you for your money and how much you can make for them, but they will never love you for who you are. And they will never care for your well-being in this life and beyond, even if they were someday to recognize a life beyond this one. But once you do pass on, what good are you to them at that point anyway? Hebrews 4, 12 through 13, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do." In Psalm 44, 20 through 21, If we had forgotten the name of our God or extended our hands to a strange God, would not God find this out? For he knows the secrets of the heart. With Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up, there's a lot to start planning for. And the next 4 to 5 weeks, as we all know, are going to go by very quickly. And adding to that, for me personally, just about everybody I know has a December birthday. I haven't even been able to begin planning all of that out because I've spent the last couple of weeks preparing for this sermon tonight. In addition to having a job, and there have been several other meetings and events taking place here recently that have made it difficult to get everything done. And we all have that. We all have that in our life, and we're all busy in our own ways. And some are better at multitasking than others. But usually when you're working on one project, you're focused on that task at hand, and you put everything else aside, even for a moment or maybe for a lot longer. That's just the limitations of our minds and our bodies, and we can't be everywhere or do everything at once. But imagine knowing imagine knowing every galaxy and every solar system and every single star by heart. Imagine knowing every movement and every process of every living thing on earth. We're told God cares for the needs of every bird and every lily of the field in Matthew 6, 26 through 28. And Steve brought up another verse in his lesson this morning from Psalm 8, which I read the whole thing and liked it and how it applied to this as well. Psalm 8, verses 1 through 9, the whole chapter. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth, who has displayed thy splendor above the heavens. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, thou hast established strength because of thine adversaries to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou dost take thought of him, and the son of man that thou dost care for him? Yet thou hast made him a little lower than God, and dost crown him with the glory and majesty. Thou dost make him to rule over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. And despite caring just for my needs, and I know I can be needy and need God's help a lot, but despite caring for my needs, he also has time to care for each and every one of your needs as well. And I don't mean to make this trivial, but because I'm interested in numbers, but with some 720 trillion to 1.2 quadrillion strands of hair to count on just human heads alone in this world, and that's an estimate, not made up, he still has the ability to remember every thought that you've ever had and listen to every prayer that you've ever made. And of course, I'm kind of making it a little easier for him because I'm having less to count up top. But God has that ability to care, to help, and to save, to correct each and every one of us. And who or what, given our technology, who or what would even come close to having that capacity? There is a market for camera covers, various types and various devices that you can tape on or slide over, temporary and permanent. But why does that market exist? Because we've all heard stories of hackers getting into our devices and turning on our cameras and microphones on our devices and being able to access that from afar without our permission and without our knowledge. I think it was during the pandemic, but there were stories of schools distributing computers and tablets to the students, and the families noticed that the cameras were turning on automatically. When they distributed the computers, they had the software in there for the teachers to be able to do that. And they wanted it to see if the students were listening and paying attention. But having that ability and that power, what else could they decide to see at any time of day or at night? And if the camera comes on, of course, the microphone is probably just as easy. And there can be good and honest intent behind every innovation, but that intent is to, but that intent is also only as honorable as the person pushing the buttons. Now, we don't have a camera cover to hide us from God. Nothing can be hidden from Him. But do we trust Him to be honorable in wielding that power? And if you believe God's hope for all mankind is for us to be saved, then maybe it doesn't bother you, and you do trust Him. But if you're someone who believes the only purpose of God or any supreme being is to punish and control us and use our sins against us, then knowing that He's watching probably bothers you. But then you're probably convinced yourself, too, that by not believing in such means that that surveillance doesn't exist. There is no hiding from God, but that's not supposed to be a fearful statement. It's supposed to be, it's just factual. And it's not to make you paranoid. It's to make you feel loved, to know that you're not alone, that God walks with us, with everyone, you, me, all day, every day. And we should want God to know us so that He can help us and to know what we need. In those times that we don't pray and ask God, isn't it still reassuring to know that He's listening anyway? And just like being sent that ad or discussing something that you think is in private and you receive an email on the subject or the item that you didn't know existed or that you needed, haven't you ever received a blessing that you didn't ask for? And haven't you ever received divine help or been visited by a brother or sister in Christ during troubled times in your life when you may not have prayed, but help arrived nonetheless? And that's because someone was listening. You didn't ping that cell tower for help on purpose, but because your heart was turned on, God got the message anyway. He can provide comfort before we ask for it, because He already knows what comfort we need. And He gives us today because He knows what we'll face tomorrow. There's a reason, too, why we don't follow specific times or we're told specific times to pray, because we pray whenever and as often as we need to or want, because God doesn't have to open up an appointment or a schedule for us to free up time, because He is time. And we have all the God in the world. To try to comprehend that fullness and omniscience, it can break the mind. We can go thinking on it forever. It's like infinity. We're not supposed to be able to see it or ever achieve it. But luckily, we do have a God that can and does. And whether or not they believe in God or in a higher power at all, there will always be men and companies who strive to be as God, but they will never be God-like. And yet they will forever to work hard to replace the one true God in our existence. And if we too knew everything about everything, then there would be nothing new in our world or to behold or experience. We would not have the joy of seeing our baby. We would not experience the joy of seeing our baby sons or daughters for the first time, because we would have already known them. And we would not appreciate the newness of relationships with lovers or friends, because we would have already known them to be gone from our lives. There would be no new wonders in the universe. Astronomy fascinates me. Astronomy fascinates me. And so anytime I read a new article, it's something I'm interested in. But there would be nothing new out there if we had already seen it all. And so we're meant as God's creation to continuously grow and learn up until our final days. How else would we be able to be amazed by God if there was nothing left to amaze us? So to some random company, we're just objects to fulfill their purpose. They're waiting for me to inherit my grandmother's coin purse so that they can get their fingers in it right away and take from it. But what are we to God, and what does God get from us? And I want to ask that again and have that ask that of ourselves. What does He get from us? and what do each of us provide to him? Those answers should be steering our purpose in life. And then we wouldn't have to be worrying about what we do when we think no one is looking, but know someone is. And so tonight, God already knows if you're ready to be baptized, but do you know if you're ready? God already knows what you need tonight, but do you know that you're ready to ask him for it in prayer? But even if you think you're not ready, God will still be with you regardless, and he'll be nearby and waiting when you're ready. But if you are ready, then we do set aside this moment for you now as we come and sing the song that Rick has selected.